Good evening, Pittsburgh. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late-night talk show, coming to you from the Center for Media Innovation at Point Park University in beautiful downtown Pittsburgh. Visit us at bergvivant.com for more on this interview and our complete archives in the Vivant Vault, as well as how you can help support our program and Pittsburgh's vibrant cultural landscape.
Oh boy.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Lonnie. So, what's going on today?
I saw Cry It Out with you.
Right. So we are, this is a Siskel and Ebert tag team review or a dual review. Cry It Out about babies and mamas.
Mostly about the mothers and fathers and their relationships.
And look, you don't know that I have this here. I brought this to startle you.
Oh my gosh!
Liz, I was at an antique store last week with Rebecca Covert, and we saw this, and I was like, should I?
You shouldn't have.
But I thought this was appropriate for Cry It Out.
That.
Yeah, and then also,
what happened to the back of it?
The near total disregard for the tail end, which incidentally is exactly how I felt about the play. So it works on a couple levels.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, well.
that is so funny.
So, yeah, what'd you think of this?
I thought it was extremely well acted, and I enjoyed the set. It was very different. Anne Mundell did the set, and I loved the feeling of impressionistic art almost. The big houses up on the hill with the trees and the greenery, and it just gave such a realistic feel of the shining houses on the hill, and then down below where we were in the backyard.
Catch how they'd light that particular one up that they were talking about.
Right.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
And I mean, as long as we're on the subject of these kind of details, like, it was minor, but the sound design in this was really good because, you know, it takes place in a courtyard between,
right,
like, two houses, so you're always hearing birds chirp and train whistles. But it, like, you know, the certain noises, you know, just happened to fit into certain silences to accentuate what was going on. It was so subtle, but I really appreciated it. It's a great sound design.
The car door slamming.
Oh, yeah.
The playwright is Molly Smith Metzler. It runs through March 22nd at the City Theater. And I particularly enjoyed, the acting and the three women that were all young mothers, new mothers, and I enjoyed their different approaches to motherhood, their different emotions, how they expressed how profound of a difference this baby made in their lives, and not always positive. This was not a romanticized look at motherhood and at having an infant. This was very gritty and emotional, and so many women go through that because their hormonal system is totally wacky after they have a baby. So they're operating with a lack of sleep, anxiety about how well they're doing as a mother, anxiety about finding proper caregivers, anxiety about getting them into the right schools. Just, I really felt a lot of empathy for all of them. I've never been a mother myself, but I really felt a lot of empathy. And Tim McGeever, as the new father of one of the babies, was also, I thought, really an empathetic character, and how well he did in portraying his fears about the baby and the concern for his wife. And just, they brought out how having a baby really affects your relationship with your husband. I thought it was very thought-provoking. And that's my take.
I was especially impressed with Julianna Voglio's performance.
Yes.
Now, look, you know, she was funny. And that, you know me, that's not a compliment that I just throw around. I mean, it seems simple. But when I say you're funny, you're funny. She's funny.
She's really funny.
For me, that's why I would tell people to see it, is for her performance. And she plays the character
Lena,
who is one of the mothers.
Tough New York, tough.
It's an over the top character. Okay, it's totally over the top, but everything that she does with this character is so authentic that she gets away with it, and it's just a pleasure to watch. And you know, one of my issues with the piece overall is kind of the structure of the play. It doesn't really hinder your enjoyment, I think, until like the last 10 minutes. But in the first couple of scenes, it's almost, it felt to me like, you know, one of the Lily Tomlin monologue plays, like Search for Intelligent Signs, because it could have been just a Lena monologue, and, you know, you would, now that's not to, you know, discredit Sarah Gokey that plays Jesse, and she, you know, kind of shines, you know, a little later on in the piece, but it was a really, really great performance and thoroughly enjoyable.
Yeah, and Rebecca Hirota also, I thought, gave a really strong performance, and her angst was
very palpable.
You could just feel it.
It's like Lilith from Cheers on steroids, you know? She kind of had that sort of, you know, presence. You didn't know what she was going to do. Yeah, a lot of great, you know, diversity in the characters, and very well cast. And I think that they all, you know, especially with the direction of Kim Wield, really brought the maximum richness that you could possibly extract from this script onto that stage.
I agree.
You know, and the script is a little bit where I took issue, you know. There's this really wonderful convention of how these women, you know, meet on this certain, what, like patio or little common area, because it's just as far as each of their baby monitors will reach. And you have this wonderful setup of this friendship between them, and you see that the issues that they're dealing with being new mothers. But, you know, I didn't read too much into the program or about this before I saw it. I kind of like to go in, you know, just with a clean slate. So I didn't realize until like the last 5-10 minutes that this was like a PSA for paid maternity leave. And I felt kind of like, okay, that is an important issue. And I think you can critique a play like this without even, you know, getting political, just, you know, on the structure and, you know, assessing it as art. But, yeah, I kind of felt like, I know that's what it's about, but it just got so didactic in the end that it just like hit you over the head with it like a mallet. And I was like, all that wonderful dialogue and all that wonderful situational lead up, and like, okay, this is all? It kind of left me unsatisfied. And I know I'm going to get hell for this because I'm a man and I don't have kids. But
there you go.
Let's clear the air about that.
There you
but
go.
Does that mean I can't have an opinion? I was still the audience. So that's that.
Well, I didn't see it the same way you did, that's all. I felt like it was just a very revealing and real look at what it's like to be a new parent. And I don't feel like it was a hit on the head. I didn't feel like it was a mallet. I just felt like that was a natural conclusion to what all we had just witnessed and seen.
And I felt the opposite, because it just all of a sudden became solely about that, and there was little payoff, you know, about the relationships that had been building to that point, I felt, you know, anyway. And then it even kind of had that mommy dearest ending where it was like, oh, your daughter seems like she has such a nice life. Does she? ? And it basically broadcast, now everybody go home and think about that. It was like, really? Because, you know, at the end of Mommy Dearest, when they're at the reading Joan Crawford's will, she puts in it, you know, I hereby have no provision for my son Christopher or my daughter Christina, and the son's sitting there who's like been shell-shocked through life with this woman. It's like, well, I guess she has the last word. And then Christina Crawford says, does she?
I'll tell you what, I'm going to use one of my most famously held expressions that annoys me. We'll just have to agree to disagree.
Oh, of course. That's what this is about. So, look, you know, it's a very enjoyable play. And it's a lot of great pieces of things. You know, I just, you know, I was let down. I wanted more at the, you know, the end of it than kind of just what I felt was like a, you know, a too teachable of a moment that, yes, okay, we're aware of this issue. Yeah, I personally feel, yes, there should be paid maternity leave, but it was like, oh, I was feeling that this was about a lot more than that. And that was sort of I just felt it was too, you know, what I want to say, blatant. And I think there are ways to get that message across in art, in plays, you know, without being so didactic about it. In the summary, I think, yeah, definitely the reason to see this is, well, if you like Grace and Frankie, you might
like this. It was a little bit like the two main ones, yeah.
A little bit, I mean, a lot deeper and
Lena
richer than
and
that.
Lena and Jesse, right.
But they have a great rapport. I mean, the performance is just fantastic. And I think if I had to narrow this down to one reason to see it, the wonderful performance by Giuliana Volio. I suspect we all went to high school with someone who is now this woman. You know, it's like she's somebody we all know.
A real character.
Oh, yeah. But again, she's so authentic.
And warm.
With
and
everything that she does. So she gets away with everything. And it's great. And I think authenticity, you know, aside from, you know, some of the issues they have with the structure of it, is something that really saturated this and probably one of its greatest strengths.
I think so, too.
Oh, yeah. Definitely see it. It's a good time. Very enjoyable and makes makes a lot of good points.
Yes, I think so.
Very clearly. As always, thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure to watch our video portion of this segment and more at bergvivant.com. We'll see you here next week on Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late night talk show.